Blinding sun, deceptive moon, and consuming shadows. Many secrets are held beyond the sight of humanity. Wondrous and dangerous, the mysteries of Dearstan leave no one unchanged. The bold crew roleplayers are pleased to welcome you into that perilous liminality between the mundane, the unknown, and the unknowable. Whispers from Beyond is a Mage the Awakening Chronicle following the journey of Emily Tao, played by Craig. I'm Bill, and I will be your storyteller for this dive into the mysteries of Dearstan. Welcome back, wonderful listeners, to The Hitchhiker. We took care of a tiny bit of bookkeeping between sessions, and for your elucidation, we'll go over it in a relatively quick form. Shay has updated a little bit of stuff on her sheet. Craig, would you like to go through it?
Yep. First off, I went ahead and spent an experience point to actually buy that shadow name thing, because it's been something that character's been kicking around for a while now, and I finally had the experience to do it. So that should help with one of the aspirations she has. So quick overview of aspirations now. I retained be a better roommate and make money, parentheses with magic. So those have not changed. I resolved the one with Amanda because I feel like we kind of moved on from her in the story at this point. She might pop Babcock again. If she does, we'll address that. But I added Stop the O'Hare Family, which is definitely going to be a longer term aspiration for Che Emily, especially if she finds out how deep that structure goes. And finally, I have balanced my two lives. And hopefully the shadow name helps with that, and basically need to figure out how to, you know, do the impossible of be a full-time college student, be a full-time magic school student, and maintain a job so she could live.
Frankly, it is a worthy challenge, and if we weren't giving you some worthy challenges, how much fun would this be anyway? So last week, in a quick summary, and you can correct me if I'm missing anything by accident, you were able to have a discussion with Brian to learn a bit about his end of life and beginning of death. You had a wonderful dinner with your mom, in which she wondered why you haven't started getting her grandchildren yet, even though she understands that college and career thing technically aren't getting abandoned. You are a modern woman after all.
And I did finally pick a major.
Mm-hmm. And you got to go out with Jessica to a club where you ran into Jackie. You gave Jackie a ride. You went to the forbidden city of Dearstan by accident and infected yourself with a little bit of Paradox. Because apparently Paradox is a lot more active there. You also probably made an enemy. In two more days, you are scheduled to meet up with the ghost Brian. And you've also, of course, in the middle of all this, since I'm going so out of order, met up with your mentor a little bit, talked to him some, and he helped you a little bit more with perspective. After all, literally, what are mentors for? Any major hints that I missed?
That's pretty much it. I have two more days until I'm supposed to meet up with Brian again at sunset at the docks or at the yacht club. I did go poking around there earlier as well, but I probably have class the next day, and I think we left off with Che still at the club, probably getting really late.
You'd gotten back and explained to Jessica what you did. She thought that it was actually pretty heroic of you making sure that, you know, someone didn't get roofied, basically. Which is good, because if you hadn't pulled that one off, I don't know if she would have reacted to you skipping out on her for a bunch and then showing up pretty much at closing time. You got 2 days, and we can make them a highlights reel instead of going through minute by minute. Class, obvious. Driving around, obvious. And I believe that Shay had two things that she knew she was going to work on. One of them was she was going to talk about her experience with her mentors because she realized there might be some consequences for what she'd done.
Yeah.
Unless she's changed her mind about that. I know you were considering.
I'm definitely wanting to do that, but I think before I go off, because I just saw Yamaduta the other day, so I think I might while in class, maybe even do some research, just some quick web browsing, maybe look at like the local police blotters for some time around a couple months ago, Christmas break, to see if there's been any like missing persons reports, possibly for a 21-year-old male named Brian.
All right. Let's call that an intelligence computer role if you're going through this on the internet, because I'd be making you go with the lower of your computer and investigation.
All right, that's 3 dice for me. I got one success.
That's odds. Okay. You do find the police report. Apparently, it was a relatively small article. Unfortunately, you come to realize that there's a lot of missing people cases. It's the kind of thing that a person doesn't think about until they're forced to. And then with the number of missing people that happen, you start to wonder how anyone actually is not missing on a certain level.
Yeah, it's probably you get all these you probably just get overwhelmed by the sheer number of them that you don't even pay attention to them on the news unless you're specifically looking for them, or it's a neighbor or friend relative that it happens to. But it's probably just the sheer volume of it just is overwhelming for the normal person that it just goes by. But yeah, are there any is there a last name or anything that would associate with a missing Brian on or about Christmas?
Brian Zimmerman went missing around then. There was a brief search, and then he was just assumed to have been a college kid who ran off, because apparently college kids vanish a lot these days.
Yeah, especially with student loans, trying to pay those back. It's probably there's probably in a world of darkness op-ed piece about that. Do you pay it off or do you just fake your death?
I'm pretty sure that is a big World of Darkness trope. Given how dark the world is and how many people go missing, it's safe to say that the average family has the 6 or 7 kids of the medieval era, and just as many seem to make it to their 20s. Or maybe their 40s. How else could the crazy murder rates and missing people rates still have a growing population?
Yeah. So, given I have a full name now, is there anything I could find out more about Brian himself? On a personal level? Does he have social media?
Well, you got one success, so you find that he had a memorialized little site on your standard book of faces and so on like that.
Bad face.
Yep. And we miss you Brian's and so on like that. Apparently some of his friends held a little vigil for him back around New Year's Eve. And then two of them got arrested for it after their vigil involved a bunch of tequila and a small bonfire that just got slightly out of control.
Yeah, but nothing out of ordinary. Do I have where he went to school or where he lived?
The guy had no security awareness, so you do in fact know where he went to school. He went to the University of Maine in Orono, because you know what? We seem to be bringing that place up as somewhere you drive to a lot, and I feel like it's just so fitting to keep involving it. All the universities matter for Shay.
Yeah. Is he from the area? A lot of times profiles will have hometowns or the high school.
Apparently he's actually from Oregon. So he was not a local student. Something brought him up to the wintry New England coast area instead of keeping him on the wet West Coast. Who knows why?
Does it say what he was studying?
Yeah, he was studying criminal justice.
How ironic.
This is a dark world.
All right. So, you know, I probably just, I'm skimming the web and just going down that rabbit hole and trying to also take notes in my class because, you know, that is important for Emily. So, yeah. Other than that, I do want to, like, you know, talk with my mentor because, like, I did, like, the one thing he asked me not to, and then I made it worse somehow.
All right. So we can zoom ahead to the next day. You are expected, after all, to go and tidy up the cabin and make sure that there's the graveyard isn't messy a couple times a week. It usually only takes you like half an hour or 45 minutes. The driving back and forth is actually more time than it takes you for your minimum chores. But frequently, he is there. Not every time, but frequently enough, he is there. And little conversations can happen. Yeah, you also are expected to review the area with your mage site to see if there's anything weird going on, new ghosts or someone like that. And he demands a report.
Yeah, I'm probably like, I know that the conversation's coming and like trying to, like, I know I need to tell him. And I need to tell him like probably as soon as I see him. But it's like one of those like kind of hoping he's not going to show up in time so I can like maybe put it off for another day. But it's he's just so happens to know when to show up.
Yep. I mean, this is late. This is March, after all, almost April. And when you get there, you find that, oh, great. He left a rake out. You're supposed to clean up all those leaves that came in over the winter into this little graveyard. Now that the snow's gone enough.
Oh, wish I had a leaf blower, Emily's thinking. But not sure if it would work around the magic, although internal combustion engines are probably safe because there's not a whole lot of electronics involved. But
well, magic doesn't automatically break technology. Magic just lets you have many tools to break technology with.
Mm-hmm.
But nope, he left a rake.
Yeah.
You know that there's a pile off to the side in the woods that he showed you about in the fall before it got too snowy.
Yeah.
You know, kind of what's expected.
I think Che is kind of thinking maybe I could magic my way through this, but also like recently I had a bunch of paradox and I kind of like having my without a trace spell going, especially if I'm going to be going around places that are crime scenes again. So she probably sighs and like starts to, you know, just do it the old fashioned way.
That's up to Che. She could take a chance or not. After all, your wonderful little abyssal thing is not going to go away until you successfully contain a paradox.
Yeah, and I think she's scared about like doing more magic or dropping or adding spells at this point.
It's completely fair. I'm just reminding you for rules' sake, because your visual backlash goes away when you successfully fully contain a paradox.
Yeah, but I don't want to just metagame it on something like she wouldn't normally
do. Oh, of course. I'm just, it's been some time out of game. I don't want you to have something unfairly hanging over your head. It should be completely fair with the Sword of Damocles.
I think thematically it's good to at least have this conversation before doing something about it.
Yep. All right. So as you're cleaning for a bit, you feel like maybe you're going to get away without seeing him. His car isn't there, so he probably hasn't came by from the main house, at least recently. And I will give you a single wits and composure roll.
Nothing on 7 dice.
Awesome. Shay is very distracted. I mean, occasionally she thinks she sees deer and stuff in this area anyway, so that's not totally surprising. You notice some deer antlers off in the distance a little bit. They seem to be kind of wobbling back and forth. That's cool. Go back to raking. The deer antlers are a lot closer. They look at an off angle, and then suddenly you realize that Yamaduta is walking over with a deer slung over his shoulders. He is not carrying any sort of weapon.
And he's basically like there before I even notice him, basically.
Yeah. If you had successes, you could have done something, but you didn't.
Yeah. No, I could pretend like I've noticed him all along, but then just go back to what I was doing.
You have a really high composure. If you want to be convincing.
Yeah, I'm going to try, but it's
let's call this composure and subterfuge to not show any signs of surprise. No one does composure rolls. You're doing composure rolls.
That's two successes because I had a 10 explode.
Beautiful. All right. You do successfully seem to not be surprised at all. I mean,
I am surprised, but I don't show it.
Exactly. You do not seem surprised. On the other hand, I don't think you have also shown up ever before and seen him hunting. So that is a new thing, too. He actually looks mildly concerned, but also glad to see you as he comes in with the deer. Hello, Shay. I see you found your chore.
Yes, teacher.
Very good. The guardian will appreciate that. He cannot do such things himself without much more effort.
Yeah, and I kind of like blink my eyes and like probably just observe him, just like watching the squirrels, occasionally me.
Mm-hmm. And the ghost does actually seem to be lounging in the places that you've already raked out, which is amusing enough.
Yeah, I think part of Che wonders if she could like control ghosts by just affecting physical objects without using actual magic, but thought passes pretty quickly.
Yeah, the deer, as you're a little closer, looks a little bit unhealthy, actually. And Yamaduta brings it to a large, flat, I'd say rock that he has set up behind his cabin, sets it down there, and seems to be examining it carefully in this moment.
Yeah, I think like Chase kind of watching with some morbid curiosity. Like, I don't think she's ever seen anyone like skin or field dress a deer before. Like she's seen deer, but usually when they're dead, it's because like a car hit them.
Yeah. He actually goes inside after laying the deer down, comes back with a couple buckets, and you're not sure if he's field dressing it because he didn't cut anything out before bringing it by. Or autopsying it, actually, as you look at it.
Is there any cuts into it?
Not in advance.
This probably has something to do with magic or hunting, which oddly for Che, magic is probably more familiar to her than the concept of hunting, because this is New England.
Yeah. After he starts looking like he was about to open it up with those buckets, he stops and looks over at you and says, come here.
I lean the rake up against like the shed or whatever where it was, and like I approach.
Examine. Look. Tell me what happened to this deer.
I flip on my death sight.
You do have a death one spell he's probably told you about that would cover this as well. It would have been part of your more basic training because you have two in depth. It's called forensic gaze. You can look at something. You can tell what killed it. Or all sorts of information about how it died.
Yeah. I clicked off it on the PDF. I think that, like, do I know about provoking paradox when, like, I have spells? Like, this would be one beyond my reach.
You know that it is a literal danger when you do so. Yes, you have been warned about it. Mages can actually feel the danger of potential paradox before they overreach.
So like thinking about doing another spell is probably prompting me to like consider very a lot or like do something. So I think at this point, Che is going to drop her without a trace spell because she's still very nervous about Paradox.
Probably a safe idea. You got three dice to try to cast this spell. One of your 2-3 reaches would go to make it an instant cast.
Yeah.
And you can do what you want for the other reach. Technically, if you use a second reach on this thing, you can witness the final moments of its life as though you were there living it. Each success giving you a minute of the end of its life. This is how death steals time magic, I guess.
Yeah. So what would be the roll for it?
Gnosis and death. So you would have 3 dice.
Okay.
Plus any yantras. Remember, Che is now a 1-point yantra for 1 die.
Yes.
And if you use any high speech or something like that, you could get another die.
So... I'm going to try. Yeah, I think I'm going to try my name or my shadow name because I am Che in this place. And I'm going to practice up the high speech because like I feel I don't want to just go all in with the hammer all the time. And plus my teacher's here. I kind of want to show off how good I am in high speech. So I'll take those 2.
I mean, also the fact that you're in a graveyard is something you could use as a location yantra too, because you're studying death at a graveyard.
Oh, yeah, let's go with that one as the second one, because then, like, maybe in my mind, they connect the location to my shadow name a bit more.
So I'm going to call the graveyard to study death a 2-point yantra instead of a 1-point one, so you can get a total of 3 extra dice for your yantras. You get 6 dice, man.
Awesome. So 1 reach to make it instant, and then we'll see what happens after that.
Are you going to use the second reach to view bits of the end of its life?
Yeah.
All right, and those are your 2 pre-reach.
All right, I got 1 success out of all them dice.
That is enough. You see, for a brief moment, what it feels like to be a deer. You feel terror and speed. You are running in the forest. Suddenly there's pain, horrible pain. Red eyes. What looks almost like a human clawing, grabbing you. Head into your neck and then blackness.
I grab my neck and like shudder.
Yamaduta looks at you and nods. He said, "Then you've seen."
I didn't get a very good look at it, but I felt like the deer didn't get a very good look at it either, so that's probably why.
Yes, but I can tell what it was from that brief look. You have not seen one before. That would have been a vampire.
And she's thinking about like back when they're talking about how dangerous it was to go into Deerston because of those, and like I think she starts to bite her lower lip again.
I do not know how fast all of them are, but we know now for certain that at least one is willing to hunt by wood instead of for man. And can outrun a deer. Is not that a valuable lesson, Che?
Yes, but I'm thinking now that couldn't have been this that far from here if you carried him.
No, it was within my bounds. Though, frankly, I hope that you never are stuck carrying a deer for a mile and a half unless you truly have a good reason. It weighs over 100 pounds. You kind of rubs his shoulder a little bit, annoyed.
Yeah, Emily has strength 1, so she would definitely need some help. Yeah, I think she probably looks at Yamaduta with the not awe, but a little bit of like she's impressed because like she knows she couldn't just sling it over her shoulder.
No, this was not in perfect health, but it's death still. I shall see that it doesn't go to waste. But neither could I let it be a case where you lacked an opportunity to learn and practice.
And I think at that, Che like lowers her head a little bit and can't help but look a little uneasy.
You mourn the deer? It is okay to mourn the deer, but not to be dragged down by it. All things pass.
Definitely not about the deer, teacher.
He tilts his head sideways a little bit. Tell me.
Perhaps we should get the tea?
Prepare it. I'll make sure that nothing of this becomes foul while you do so.
I think maybe cut to the interior cabin shot. Tea's already prepared.
Mm-hmm. He's cleaning his hands off very thoroughly. Or drying his hands, I should say now, from just having cleaned them very thoroughly.
So, I was out again in the confines, or at least the guys in my other life, when I noticed someone very familiar. It was that woman that I try to save from the ghost. I told you how maybe it wasn't the worst thing to try to save her, but the ghost Brian possibly had, you know, some justification to his thoughts and feelings.
I remember this. Go on.
I saw her again, and with my sight, I saw Brian as well. But this time she was with another person, and it kind of felt, not that I was there, but it kind of felt like the way Brian described it. And I kind of felt like I knew what she was going to be doing. So, and then I explained how I got her into my car and like was panicking because I knew where she was driving, but went there anyways. And then how I managed to convince one of the hospital attendees to help me with this other guy. But then at that point, I kind of hang my head a little bit. I used some of my powers, and I don't think it went well. And I know I wasn't supposed to go there or use magic or worse, provoke paradox, but it happened.
He looks at you incredibly seriously.
I can only hope that I did the right thing regardless, but I don't know what sort of penalties that sort of thing has, but I figure it's best if you hear it from me before someone else tells you. I don't know if they could figure this out, but I assume someone could.
There's not always someone watching every road. Some laws exist more for our protection than our confinement. Now, your driving job is certainly more peculiar than it used to be, for you are going to be denied certain rides that other people might deliver on for your own safety. Wrongness you felt, magic there goes wrong far, far more easily. And worse still, you were after dark, and the vampires of that city have strong hatred towards us.
Normally, I wouldn't have accepted the job, but I wasn't even working at the time. It just, one thing led to another, and I couldn't let what happened to Brian happen to someone else. And it probably will keep happening unless I do something about it. I can't let that happen.
It is not wrong to stop an unjust death, but all our actions have consequences. Your actions have consequences for me personally. I have responsibility as your teacher. Your mistakes are my mistakes. Do you understand what that means?
I'm sorry. I think I understand, but I don't know to what extent. I don't want to get you in trouble.
Then we will not speak of this to anyone else, because any punishment that would have been levied on you would be levied on me as well.
And I don't think Che was quite expecting to just be like, we'll sweep this under the rug.
Like, he waits until the surprise seems to be positive before continuing, though.
Like,
that does not remove your responsibility for your actions.
I nod. I mean, what would you have done, though?
I think that were it me, I might have brought them to a much closer clinic, saying how ill that boy looked and how he had to go quickly to a doctor. You could have gone to the emergency room in Bangor.
Yes, and in hindsight, I should have, but I didn't think of that at the time. I don't have your ears of wisdom, or not just that you're old, or that's a bad thing, or I didn't think of it until it was too late and we were already there. And I don't know, I couldn't bring him to that spot. Brian told me what happens there.
Yes, and you did well in that you did not bring him to his death. That much is true. But still, a lesson must be learned here. I'm going to have to task you, frankly, with something annoying and unpleasant and tedious. Silence. Very well. Annoying and unpleasant and tedious, because frankly, anything the council might have done might have been equivalent or worse. And this is merciful. You don't know the dangers of Dearston. You will learn them. You may not cross the bridge onto the islands. But instead, I expect you, instead of playing around in your car for loose change, to sit 3 nights a week for the rest of the month, where you can see that bridge and watch it for no less than half the night, taking note of any strange and supernatural things going back and forth. You will make notes of all these things and you will bring them to me. And you will see how many things go back and forth between that island and the shore. And you will do so with understanding that should the inhabitants of that island notice you, they will not care that you are on the shore, despite the fact that that leaves you under our rules. You will see what the danger is, and you will avoid it. And you will not go back there without the permission of the council.
I don't think I ever intended to go in the first place, but I guess that's not nearly as bad as I thought it could have been, and does seem to have a use. I can't just stop driving, though. That's my job.
You have 4 other nights in the week. Some of that you'll probably want to get sleep during, but you can still drive on them. However, 2 of the nights that you'll be watching are Fridays and Saturdays. You can make whatever you want for the 3rd night.
I nod.
Remember, only a member of the council can grant permission to go there right now. This is considered a very serious rule for all of our protection.
Sure, it's not without reason. Then, I mean,
no, there are things on that island that, well, you told me of the one time you were there before joining us. You remember what you saw.
My mind goes back to, like, the crab cultists and, you know, just being dragged out as I'm trying to run away from them and being chucked into the water. But I think this is all like a little memory in Chi's mind, not something that she's saying aloud. But yeah, I bite my lip again and nod.
Those things serve a greater force, something that we believe has escaped from the abyss, something called forth perhaps by a great, horrible paradox wrought by somebody who knew not their limits, or worse, perhaps by someone who did not care and chose to call it forth. Less of the wise than I would prefer know the details and truth of this matter. And I am not one of the few who knows the whole story. They probably have reasons for keeping it secret, but he shrugs, looking slightly galled at this as well.
Something worse than vampires did this?
Something of the abyss that horrible place of unreality that taints magic when one overreaches. The place paradox comes from.
I sigh, and then I kind of like pull my hair back into a ponytail, because like I feel like that's one of Emily's nervous tics. Been thinking more about Brian, honestly. I'm supposed to go back there tomorrow night and meet with him. If one of his anchors is his body, he did say that there's two places where he's found that he can appear. One of them being a lot more awkward than the other, and the other one being that Jackie person. I don't necessarily think it's right for him to be around her. I don't know what he'd do. Not that she would or wouldn't deserve it, but I can understand why he wouldn't want to emerge where his body is, given where it's at. I was thinking maybe I could do something for him and make it less awkward, give him another chance. Maybe that might ease his time in this world.
You wish to craft him a new anchor, or do you mean to just simply move his body?
Well, first off, having a body there is not a great idea. And I don't think I was aware that you could craft a different one.
Such is actually even beyond my skill, but it seemed like the kind of question you were asking.
I see. Well, so maybe I start with just moving the body. I'm wondering if moving a physical anchor would move the spiritual attachment to the location.
If he's attached to the body and not a place, then yes, wherever his body is, his anchor would be. But, Shay, what are you going to do with a corpse?
Well, I did have a favor to ask of you.
He looks at you with a very deadpan glance.
And
raises an eyebrow slightly and sips his tea.
I glance outside at the very convenient looking cemetery.
That is what it is there for.
I mean, even if there was no magic involved, I think the least he could do is get a proper Christian or whatever burial.
It would bring him closer to being at peace, and frankly, you know that I prefer that ghosts find their peace to some alternative.
Yeah. I have some time to prepare, but it is March, and I want to kind of go over the plan I kind of had with him about just going in there and, you know, tying a rope to him and pulling him out. But the idea of getting hypothermia in March is definitely something that I'm not sure that Che has the ability to withstand.
Those would be 40 degree waters. Can you really get a dry suit thorough enough to keep yourself from freezing in that?
No, and I was kind of thinking of some sort of arcana, maybe a way to insulate my own body heat, even if it's only for a few minutes, maybe dampen the effects of the cold. I don't think it's a great idea to just, you know, go full Noah on the, or go full Moses on the water, but
I do not think that you yet have the power to do something that would go in full Moses.
Right. But rope I have.
Rope is easy. There are a small number of ways that you might be able to do this. You can't exactly coax rope to tie knots, but you might convince a hook or a grapple or an anchor to lodge itself in a body.
Out of character, I was hoping to do the other way, but it makes sense that he would suggest this one.
Well, yeah, I know what you were wanting, but if you didn't ask him, he wouldn't have said it. Asked a more experienced mage, a more experienced mage answer. His other thing you say is, alternatively, I could insulate you myself, and you could figure out how comfortably you want to do that. How good are you at holding your breath?
Stamina 3, so not terrible.
And would you be able to actually carry and lift him?
That might be difficult. I'm sure I could get him into the trunk of my car.
Well, can you lift the deer?
I don't know if she could. She doesn't like lift weights for fun, so I'm sure she could with some effort get into a trunk of a car, but
yeah. You gotta ask the questions of, are you really thinking this through? That's what mentors gotta do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily want to ask of the fish and body out of the water with me, but I'm not sure. Definitely not gonna ask my mom or my roommate.
Oh no, that could go so horribly wrong.
Yeah, I don't think one Dodson ally is gonna stop my mom from wanting to talk to the cops.
No, I can think of a lot of ways that could go badly. I mean, how many ways do you want it to go badly? We can, you know, we can do a lot of things that will make Shade's life really tough.
I'm sure we'll have plenty of difficult situations without purposely making them difficult. All right.
Yeah, so he'd say, you could fish him out, or you could drag him, technically.
I mean, if he's wrapped in something, he might slide. He's not.
That might help. I mean, you probably want something waterproof to put him in.
Get a duffel bag, put that in the trunk, and maybe like some sort of pulley system.
I would suggest you want a couple contractors' trash bags. Otherwise, the water and the rot will make your car utterly unusable.
And this is why I have a mentor.
Really basic suggestions, yeah, but really practical ones.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think we spent some time to thinking of like all the dumb ways that I could mess this up and poke holes in the plan, and then try to think of solutions around them. So like, yeah, the contractor trash bags, but underneath there like a big tarp for in the trunk. Hopefully can get the trash bags into like a large duffel bag. Could spend some time like maybe even stapling the ends of the tarp inside the car, so it's not like gonna fold up or fall out if I drop them in it.
Yes, you feel almost like you're planning a hit but in reverse.
Yeah,
and it makes you wonder how he has to have this knowledge.
I mean,
for a brief moment here and there.
Yeah, probably, but like he does go hunting, I found out, so probably.
Well, you also know he didn't actually hunt down this deer. But yes. He has to deal with dead things.
Yes. He's probably moved the body. Okay, so this guy's probably moved the body or two to stay if he's stuck outside watching a cemetery. Maybe asking this was the best bet I could have done. So how willing is my mentor to help me basically plan a reverse hit?
I would say he's willing to talk things through with you. Talking things through with you is not exactly a major favor or anything like that. It's literally his job. Mm-hmm. It's what you ask him to do to help you out that may or may not qualify as a favor, which requires something from him.
Sure.
Or for him, you know?
Yeah, and I'm already on sentry duty for the next month.
Mm-hmm. Very merciful, frankly. But oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know if like that they did something like snip your magical testicles or something for trespassing.
Well, the thing is, you don't exactly have a lot of rights that you could temporarily have revoked because you're an apprentice.
Mm-hmm.
And the regular punishments could, frankly, have been worse.
Yeah, it might be something to ask at a not this point in time. Okay, so spend some time going through. That means, I guess, tomorrow I'm gonna have to go to class, but then hit like a hardware store or a sporting goods store, all that good stuff to retrieve the body. Which it's good that I have have the time to prepare. And I think Che's learning that a mage who has time to prepare is likely going to have more success. So,
yeah, a prepared mage is a living mage. An unprepared mage might not be.
Yeah. Okay, so I technically have like a day and a half to do all this stuff that I want to do, because I'm not meeting Brian till night, and I don't necessarily want to dig a body out of the river in the broad daylight. So probably rope and tarp are things that I could either have at my mom's house. I can go let myself in and get them from my dad's tools while she's at work. Could get contractor bags or some sort of waterproof tarping pretty easily. I still think a wetsuit just in case, that should run between 60 and 80 bucks at a sporting goods store, which it's a little bit more than walking around money, but probably within her budget, as long as I don't buy a bunch more stuff.
Let's just say your budget's going to be tight for the rest of the month. Yeah. Thanks to adding in the couple things like that.
Yeah. Spent some time to get rope, but probably some more time practicing that spell.
Yeah, you only have two dice without any yantras for the lodestone spell, mm-hmm. but telling a rope to be attracted to a specific thing is not impossible. But if you don't have something on that rope, Zen, that'll hook on its own,
yeah,
it's not exactly useful because you can't manipulate it with your level of magic to tie knots or anything yourself.
Right. I'm thinking like a carabiner. Maybe I can get it on like a belt or like rope. Maybe I didn't necessarily see the body. I just kind of sensed it with my sense corpse spell or locate corpse spell.
Well, I mean, if you went to a sporting goods store that has a wetsuit,
mm-hmm.
you go to the fishing area, they have some very large hooks. That's maybe. But a lot of them also have a small boating area, and they have anchors that, you know, are not too small, not too huge. Mm-hmm. Might be kind of messy to hook into him, but it could work.
Yeah, I like the idea of like just like take a carabiner and use like some string or fishing line to like keep it open, and then a good tug and the line's going to slip if it gets onto a rope or a belt, and it wouldn't be too hard to reset.
I mean, or literally you can do a slip knot with a carabiner so it just tightens itself when you pull.
Yeah, I could watch some YouTube videos and practice that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's pretty reasonable. You can just hope, what's it going to hook, loop, an arm, a leg, a neck? Who knows?
Yeah, I'm hoping that whoever decided to dump him did enough to keep his body together, because like I know he has some sort of the Y incision in him too, so it could get really messy. So yeah, so I do all those things. It probably takes me the better part of a day, and you know, having to go to class as well and do homework and, you know, all these other things coming up in my life.
Well, frankly, it's getting you into almost weekend territory, because I believe that originally he said he was going to meet you on a Sunday evening.
Yeah, I don't remember what day of the week it was. I just know it was 3 days later. And what night were we at the club? Was that a Thursday or Friday?
I think it was a Thursday.
Okay.
So you talked to your mentor basically about this on a
Friday.
Yep, and then you had to spend your Friday and Saturday nights both
mm-hmm.
doing mage sight and being observant and taking a log and noticing mm-hmm. that, one, it is draining to keep turning it on and off, on and off. But yeah, certainly some cars seem to be weird. Some of them are stronger with death than you would expect and things like that.
Yeah, I probably bring some headphones and maybe homework or whatever as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to completely skim over the fact that I'm pulling sentry duty. But
we will let those two particular ones slide for the moment, and we'll have an interesting night come up. But you certainly had to park your car in multiple different places and move it around already.
Mm-hmm.
So that the police wouldn't be like, why is that kid sitting there for hours?
Yeah.
So we'll start off with that having been a nuisance.
Yeah. I might have to veil my car somehow at some point. The thought occurs to Che. Or like find some way for people not to notice her car, which would be very convenient.
Mm-hmm. It's not quite within your skill set yet, but no, never know.
I write it in my notebook. Maybe that's something I can work towards, or maybe if someone ends up owing me a favor. Yeah. Because I think Che understands that there are multiple types of Arcana, and she really has only been exposed to two. So maybe someone with a different set maybe could like just deal with happenstance and people just not noticing things, or people like forgetting things that the car was there, or just by fate they don't show up near the car, or it doesn't stick in their memory. There's probably multiple ways to do what Chase thinking, probably on one of these nights vigil, but yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you are aware of the other Arcana existing already, mm-hmm. but as for having actually practiced with them, that's a completely different matter.
Definitely.
They are still outside your skill set, and you only have vague ideas, and your mentor frankly isn't focusing on that because you got skills to master right now.
Exactly. Because okay. I think it's good for her to like get a couple like good ones down before starting to sample others.
Yeah, it's important for your education for you to work on, while not literally mastering the Arcana, more figuratively mastering the skill set that you have to work with. And that is going to be your innate strongest.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Does all that stuff, goes to class, and does vigil. Probably hasn't had a whole lot for her social life.
No class, weekend.
Oh, weekend. Yeah. Okay. That's right.
But probably still was pretty busy for a lot of it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Since you were doing a lot of prep and running your errands and so on like that, and driving people around during the day.
Yes, and probably seen a few really juicy fares that I could have taken, but didn't because they terminated in Yersten.
Well, you've seen the map now, so you know how far away that really is and how unlikely you are to get someone taking an hour-long cab ride. But it does occasionally happen, and it sucks when you can't take it. You can drive someone to Augusta once in a while, though. But that's a rare and profitable time. So, I'm gonna guess mid-afternoon then, or are you waiting till close to sundown to try and get the body?
I'll probably start prepping in the afternoon, just because I want to go out there when it's like the sun's going down, because I feel like, first off, it's more thematic to go out there. And I'll have more cover. And who knows, if Brian's there, maybe he'll be able to assist me in all this stuff.
He might have opinions. It's his body.
Yeah. I probably want to run the idea past him first before doing this. Because like I know ghosts can be kind of like, but they can be strong from what I hear. Not that I've, had a like straight up fight a ghost yet, but probably do some like accessorizing in my closet and try to find like a way to like retain my hammer on like a belt or something. Cause Chase still considering her superhero costume.
He is. And it does take work and time and effort to make a good one, doesn't
it? Yeah. And I think at the very least, maybe she like puts like a loop at the end of the belt, like maybe duct tapes on some like 550 cord or whatever, just so she could like attach her helmet or hammer to her belt if she has to do something. But she feels like she doesn't want it, like if she has to go in and pull it out, the body, like doesn't want to like lose her best implement. So she'll take a little bit of time to figure a way to secure it. But it's March in New England. It's pretty far north. Maybe she'll start heading out around 4:30 when the sun's going down.
Yeah, it's still relatively dark then, especially where you are. I mean, the 50 days in the 50s are your warm days right now, with occasional rare ones where for some reason it was in the 70s on Monday and then back to the 30s the next day. That kind of thing.
That's New England.
Very much. So you head there. It is dark at this marina, hidden at that back of that residentially neighborhood where the small old docks and the yacht club is. You know that basically you have to go down through some people's yards if you want to get as close as possible to where the body is.
Right. I mean, we said at the yacht club itself to meet Brian. So I might kind of just stay up in here until it's time to, like we said, meet up by the yacht club, not necessarily where his body is, because he doesn't necessarily know that I know where his body is already. So I'm going to stay up towards the building itself.
I mean, he has a bit of range around it, not a huge range, but a bit of range. And when you get there, you turn on your mage sight to look for him. He can't see that you can see him until you spend that point of mana to be able to interact or cast a bit of magic. But you can actually see him sitting down at the end of a dock, just kind of looking into the distance.
Do I know if he could see me?
He's made it clear that he can see people, because he was seeing and interacting with the world before you made yourself able to see him. Or before, you know, you could tell that you could see him.
Yeah. I think I'll spend the mana as I'm walking up to be able to interact with him. Just because I have some mana, but I don't necessarily want to have a bunch of spells going at once, because Jay's still very nervous about that. So I'll spend the mana and I'll kind of just like walk to the edge of the dock and kind of just sit down next to him.
He looks over at you, pretty sure that you can see him, and says, "Well, you made it."
I said I'd be here.
You did. And you said that you wanted to help. I'm pretty sure that after the last time I ran into you, you believe me now.
I believe you. And who knows what kind of trouble I'm all into, but already. But I'm not saying the way you want to do things is the right way, but you are justified. I'll give you that.
Well, I held off. A deal is a deal is a deal.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little bit better at this kind of being dead thing, he says.
Oh, yeah?
Kind of reaches the side of the dock. Looks like he's concentrating incredibly hard and knocks a shell off the dock.
I raise an eyebrow quizzically. How long have you been practicing that?
Yesterday was the first day I could pull it off.
Yeah, I bring my finger up to like one of the pebbles on the dock and flip it in. It's like, I've been doing that for years, and kind of just smile.
He somewhere between smiles and frowns at you, given the obvious little bit of jealousy in his appearance.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't poke fun. It's not nice. So, I talked to some people. I did mention I'm new at this, but I talked to some people, and well, this guy kind of confirmed one of my theories that, I mean, there are other places, but you're probably are tied to only a few of them, which, I mean, you've already figured that out.
He nods. You seem to be repeating the stuff he's gotten so far.
So, there might be ways to either move on if that's what you want to do. It may or may not be better on the other side. I don't know if a paradise is a thing, but at the very least, I could help you maybe be less uncomfortable here in the meantime. I figure that's a step.
What are you thinking? And is it actually going to get me any closer to some justice?
Well, talking to one of my associates, he seems to think that things would be better for you if maybe you found a different focus or let go of some of your vengeance. Now, I'm not asking for any of that right away. You've shown you've been able to hold off, which I really appreciate. And I'm not saying that she's going to get off without anything, because I definitely want to look into that. But maybe in the meantime, I could maybe help it so at least one of your places is less awkward to appear at.
I'm listening, he says, and I'd like you to make a wits and empathy roll. He's not actually saying anything, so active listening wouldn't count.
That's 3 successes.
You realize that despite the fact he's been sitting up here with you, there's actually something he seems to be nervous about.
I turn to him and say, is something wrong? And I think I put my hand on top of his.
It's not pleasant being down there. He gestures towards the river. In fact, at best, it's pretty awkward.
And that's kind of what I was thinking I could help with. Now, before going through, is this, besides this place being where your body is, does this place hold any significance to you?
No, it's just where my body is now.
And when you appear, do you appear underneath?
Well, I have to travel the way other things travel, but I have to be near enough to my body. And I really don't want to get a lot closer, despite the fact that I'm tied to it, because, well, I really just don't want to be down there.
I understand. I just trying to make sure that it's not this place that you're anchored to. And I kind of like the words kind of like thick in my mouth, because like I'm communicating it to someone who Che's not sure if he understands like the terminology of anchor. But
I mean, I feel a connection to my body. I don't feel a connection to the dirt at the bottom of a river.
That's very good to know.
I honestly liked it better when my body wasn't here.
I can understand that. And I pat his hand up a little bit.
He actually holds your fingers for a few moments when you do that, as though he is getting just this moment to recall what warmth actually feels like.
And I think this is like the first time that Che like realizes that, oh my gosh, like I could actually interact in capital letters with a ghost by spending the mana. So I think she kind of like not like repels or anything, but kind of like it's like a weird like suddenly like noticing moment. I would like to ask your permission to remove your body from where it is now, thinking maybe there'd be a better spot for it.
Please. And there's no hiding how desperate he sounds when he says please there.
I really am trying to help you, and I don't know where this journey is going to take us, but I figure this is a good first step, giving you better options.
All right, and let's take a brief break before your attempt.
Want to find out more about the story? Join our Discord channel. The link is in the description.